to somewhere over there in Southeast Asia and talk to our colleague, Yoshi, this hour about many things. We cover a lot of areas here. What we do know is that Fukushima Daiichi continues to pollute and destroy what's left of the North Pacific Ocean and continues to engender an ever-expanding extinction event all over the Northern Hemisphere, all the way around the world. It's not going to quit. It's going to go on for hundreds and hundreds of years until and unless technology and science, if we're around long enough to actually accomplish anything, comes along and is able to transmute radioactivity into harmless substances. That's the only hope that there can be. But how do you deactivate a radioactive ocean? Good luck. Yoshi, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Somewhere is a good description, because I don't want to be anywhere, because there seems to be a hyperactive, I don't know how to describe it.
You're being followed.
You know, if you see the Bourne series, you know, the Bourne Legacy, Bourne Identity, you understand hyperactivity of these people, this sort of enthusiasm. It's American-style jihadism, okay?
Yeah.
And it synergizes with that Islamic jihadism. In fact, they're actually twins, you know, connected at the hip. They synergize with each other. They built with each other. They live on Saudi money. They work for the State Department and the American and Arab and Pakistani intelligence agencies.
Saudi, interesting comment. Saudi money may be about gone. Apparently, they've frittered away a hell of a lot of their stash on this genocidal war against the Yemen peoples.
That's cash in hand, but, you know, they have vast asset treasury holdings.
Well, Aramco, I mean, what's Aramco worth? $1 trillion?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, Aramco, they have investments in all the major oil companies, you know, ExxonMobil, you know, Chevron, so on. And they have holdings in all the U.S. major banks, Wall Street, London. They're quite well off, you know, they're quite well off. And, you know, one of the odd things about the whole thing, you don't know where the Arab money ends and the Jewish money begins in Wall Street. You know, it's sort of, again, twins joined at the hip, right?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. You nailed it, sure.
All their rhetoric about how they don't like each other and all that. Amazing how much they're in bed together. So,
yeah.
Amazing situation. And I always say these things because, you know, I was the last foreign journalist in a Pakistan-Afghan border area right before 9/11 and right after. I was the first one in, okay, doing some work for the Japanese press and a small outfit in San Francisco, press in Hong Kong and so on. And, you know, it was stringy for a lot of people.
It took a lot of guts to do that.
Yeah, but that's exactly when this fellow from New Jersey who's been disturbing Chelsea, New York, and, you know, Seaside Park over there in Jersey, he was in Quetta, Afghanistan in 2011. Okay? And so, you know, I'm very familiar with what's happening. And he was born in Afghan border. He's Pashtun. He's a Pashtun.
Yeah. Wait. I thought he was an anchor baby. He's definitely Pashtun? Okay.
He's Pashtun. Yeah. He's Pashtun. Mm-hmm. And he's in Quetta, Pakistan, 2011. Very, very unusual timing. Because at the time, this is the time when there's a lot of, you know, interest in trying to turn over a new lease in Afghanistan, you know, the American withdrawal and all that.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. But he was born in Pakistan, but he came over 9 years old. So I put him into the United States in 1996, 97. And this is when the Bill Clinton State Department, this is well known, it's on record. Ahmad Rashid wrote a book called Oil, Afghanistan and the Taliban, and the connection between the State Department and the Taliban. Bill Clinton was an eager supporter of the Taliban. He worked with Benazir Bhutto's wife, okay? Husband, Benazir Bhutto's husband, in building the Taliban, providing arms, money, weapons, with the hopes of getting a pipeline, a gas pipeline from Turkmenistan down to India. That was a big project. So, and he cooperated very much with the Saudis back then, in from 1995 through 97. Okay, and then you remember there was a Kenyan and Tanzanian embassy bombing that sort of disrupted things, and then Bin Laden happened to be in Afghanistan quietly then, and then Clinton fired some cruise missiles in there. So this family, the Rahani family, comes over to New Jersey at that time, along with the Karzai family. You know, Hamid Karzai, who became the president of Pakistan.
Well, what a coincidence, huh?
Afghanistan. They also have a big restaurant. Karzai brothers own a restaurant in New York, you know? Alleged big drug smuggling hub, you know? And so the State Department, they were all in with the state. So Bill Clinton's State Department brought all those Afghans over during his administration, using a lot of Saudi money, okay, because the Taliban were more pro-Saudi than the other groups there, okay, than the Kashmir groups and newspapers. So basically, this is a product of the Clinton foreign policy, not just Hillary's foreign policy, Secretary of State. This is a policy of her husband, Bill Clinton. Now, these people go back.
People forget. Good point. Wow.
he's a Clinton refugee or immigrant. Yeah. I don't know what you call it. Recruit.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. So this is where they're coming from. And his sense of disappointment, you know, going back to Afghanistan, feeling disappointed after all the long wars, the war still dragging on.
Sure, sure.
All the promises made by Clinton, Bush, Obama, you know, to help the Afghan people and all that. And the war still dragging on, people still being killed with drone strikes and all that. The guy comes back and gets to be known as Mad Rahuni. You know, in other words, they consider him a mad. He's angry, okay, when he sets off these bombs.
Yeah, he got radicalized.
And so now, but if you understand, he's a Clinton baby. That's why Hillary, Mayor Bill de Blasio, don't dare mention anything about Islam, terrorism, and all that, because he's their baby. You got that? You understand? Bill de Blasio was the campaign manager for Bill Clinton's reelection. And also, he was the manager of, he ran the campaign for Hillary Clinton's candidacy. But he's a Clintonite all the way. That's how he got to be mayor of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why they're so tight-lipped. This is their people.
Well, that's really a fascinating connect. There's so many dots to connect, and there's another amazing string. Wow.
Yeah, which is why the silence, they don't dare want to talk about it. They want to forget that this guy or these kind of people ever existed.
He was radicalized when he went over there.
Yeah, well, you see, the family were radicals. In the beginning, Taliban were radicals, and Clinton said, that's wonderful, you know.
We're still supporting radicals. We're still supporting terrorists. We're still supporting ISIS. We're bombing the Syrian army to give ISIS an access to...
Exactly the point.
We've always been on the wrong damn side. Always.
Yeah. They have weapons, satellite photos, training, you know, U.S. military bases, you know, intelligence agency. They're America's children. Yeah, and then one day they wake up and say, what happened to all the promises you gave us, right? You betrayed us. And then they go berserk and start killing average Americans, you know, for soft targets. You know, they lose it. So there's an underlying story here. And then how quickly they were able to find him. Now do you understand why they're so able to find this guy so fast? He's one of their guys.
Too funny.
Isn't it amazing?
He was said to be sleeping on in front of a closed bar on the ground when they found him.
Yeah. Well, some Taliban guy, he's probably there drinking all night and get caught, kicked out, you know, bum-rushed out of there. So, and then all the first American fried chicken place. It's just like the Karzai family.
That's the name of it, too. Right. First American fried chicken,
You get it? If they were such... If they didn't have an American connection there, this great thanks, you know, to the big white father there in Washington, Bill Clinton, why would they call it First American? It's their debt of gratitude. We're over here. We work with the Americans. They owe us. They're going to give to us. And then one day they find out, well, they're still bombing our, they just bombed my neighbor. They just bombed my cousin. Yeah. You get the point here.
Sure do.
You know, you can't have it both ways. You know, and I think that's what, you know, Donald Trump is trying to point out. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't butter your bread on both sides. You got to decide where you stand, where you are, you know. If you're with them, go over there and join a fight. You're with the USA, stay in the USA and fight. But what you can't do is be indecisive and just gun down innocent people or bomb innocent people on the street. So Bill de Blasio, if you know, I wrote a couple articles about that Trump Tower, the guy who snuck in with the Glock pistol, and I pointed out there was this huge police corruption scandal, you know? And then Police Chief O'Neill is sort of on the fringe of that scandal, okay? The guy who spoke with de Blasio, and pointing out de Blasio was getting money. And, you know, when Bloomberg and Giuliani were in there were no Wall Street banker deaths. As soon as Bill Blasio got in, the Wall Street bankers started dying like flies, okay? All the insiders were dying like flies. Something rotten, not in Denmark, but something rotten in New York City. All focuses on de Blasio, and he's the man who's supposed to turn New York State for the Clintons. And the Clinton Foundation, of course, is in Harlem, is in New York City. So We're seeing sort of the real policy Machiavellianism in that whole Clinton plan there, yeah? And it's coming home to roost and with the bombing New York, of all places, in Chelsea.
Yeah, isn't that, that's pretty strange. What's in a name,
Clinton,
huh?
Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this Afghan guy saying, what happened, Clintons? You gave us such big promises when I came over as a 9-year-old kid. You know? What happened? Right? To those big promises. So why Chelsea? It makes all, you know, it's a finger directly to the Clintons, or, you know, setting this whole thing up where everyone's killing each other off. A world of terrible disappointment and disillusion. You know, it's a big story, right? It's not, you know.
Oh, this is a major story, and no one's talking about it. Nobody, Yoshi, nobody.
We met the enemy, and the enemy are us.
Oh, it's us. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we've always been. Look, let's go back. Hold on. Let's go back to World War One. We shouldn't have been in that war. We had no reason to go to that war. World War Two. We had no reason to get involved in that war. 80% of Americans wanted us to stay out of World War Two. Something like that. Yeah. We had no reason. Nobody wanted it. And FDR lied, betrayed us. Pearl Harbor forced us into the European War, fought the wrong enemy. Yeah. It was all about communism, socialism, Bolshevism, Marxism. That was the danger on the planet. We were sold a bill of goods. We were conned. Yeah. We were lied to. And the whole thing, every goddamn war has been wrong, has been horrible, has been... We are the great Satan. There's no question.
They're all treacheries.
And that's not to say you people who fought in the war weren't heroic. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, the people who fight the war are trash, and then Wall Street somehow comes away a lot richer.
Flushed.
It's always the same story. And now we see this little drama going on in New York City where Bill de Blasio didn't say a single word of sympathy for all the New Yorkers who were fighting out of their minds.
That wasn't his agenda.
They're flying 200 feet in the air, right? You know what I'm saying? And these are elite New Yorkers, right? People in nice little dresses and all that, running with their little Gucci bags, you know, down the street, clutching their shopping bags as they're running away from the bomb. Okay? Amazing sight. This is sort of like, you know, they say the first time's a tragedy, second one's a parody, something like that. I think Friedrich Engels, somebody said that. But anyway, no, I think it was Karl Marx himself that said that. You know, 9/11 was a tragedy, and here 15 years later, we have this farce happening in Chelsea, Clintonville, New York. Yeah.
No accidents, folks. The name was not a coincidence.
Exactly. It's not just one evil guy lurking. This is the system coming down. You know, these are, you know, minions of the system coming down. And anyone who worked for the system knows what betrayal by the system. So this is a story in New York. This is why I was writing about Blasio, corruption, the Israeli role all over these sort of things, okay? You know, Elizabeth, New York, where this guy is from, that's where that second head of Homeland Security was from. What was his name? Lieberman's, big advisor. The guy who created Homeland Security, Joe Lieberman, his big honcho, I forget his name now.
Oh, Chertoff.
Yeah, Michael Chertoff. His grandfather and father were the rabbis of the Elizabeth, New Jersey synagogues there, big synagogues there. And so in this little community, lo and behold, suddenly we have the Taliban there.
Yeah.
And when I was in Pakistan, the Taliban said, you know, we got nothing against Israel. Unlike the Arabs and all, we got nothing. Because we're the lost tribe of Reuben. We're Jews.
Yeah.
Does it make any sense now? Does it begin to make sense? Osama bin Laden from Yemen, where half the family's Arab family, Muslim family, are married in a Jewish family. This whole problem is this sort of weird synergy, Judaism in the Central Asia, Near East, and stuff that the Israelis sometimes, anthropologists, they sometimes hint at this. They talk about Bukharan Jews, legends of the Taliban. Anyway, this is a part, this is a job for anthropologists, not for me, but that's what the Taliban people told me. Yeah? We're Jewish. Is that a shocker? Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, sure it does.
I mean, does that make, I mean, with a straight face.
Pragmatic, sequential, logical.
Well, it's not the problem. It is actually historical. They wear the sort of, they dress the same, they have the same kind of hairstyle, and, they have similar words, religious rituals, all the same. They call themselves the Lost Tribe, Central Asia or somewhere. So, we have these strange synergies, and then New York, of course, is a very strange city for people who haven't lived there. It's hard to figure it out unless you've been there a while and really get to know the nitty gritty, of the various ethnic communities, which I did, when I was there. So, it's an amusing story on one hand, but it is awful bad for people to live in terror like this, New York, and as I said, New York's been hit by this stuff many a time now. It's like getting to be the feather this thing. Anyway,
you're totally right. See, the geopolitics of all this, you have a rare grasp of the big picture. Rare. And from your world travels, from all the people you've known, from your perspective, which is really something that it's almost unheard of. People just don't get the big picture. They don't.
Yeah,
they get a piece of it.
I don't even think Donald Trump realizes how far embedded the Clintons are in this whole, complex, the Saudi-Israeli, the conflict, how deeply a product of that they are, it's not well understood. These are international networks. It's hard to tell who's who, what a person's background really is. So the Clintons are just a product. I mean, Trump uses strong language, but it is kind of something very alien to what I would call the American spirit, friendliness, hospitality, openness, all that stuff, democracy, everyone speaking out, mm-hmm. I mean, people calling each other names, racist names, it's a rough and tumble democracy, America, And it's hard for many people from outside America to understand that, how rough and tumble it can be, but how in a certain sense, fair and just also can come out of that. If you're willing to contend, you have the end of your struggle. So it's very, very difficult for the world to understand America, for America to understand the rest of the world.
Well, there's a dichotomy here that very few people could understand. They can't understand it. They just really don't get
it. Yeah. No, but all I can say is, this explains why de Blasio Clinton was just walking on eggshells there, This little Frankenstein guy, mad Rahini, that's their baby, That's their baby monster there, First American fried chicken.
How
it's
funny.
Astounding, right? It's astounding, right, what goes on. But anyway, news from Fukushima. Another typhoon, number 16, called Malakas. This typhoon is astounding. It's going from Philippines heading straight eastward, northeast toward China.
This, another one's tracking. In other words, you're saying it's tracking.
Swerves like it swerves more than 90 degrees.
Like Katrina.
More than 90 degrees.
Like Katrina.
Yeah, it's a massive swerve, like a right turn, and then far sharp right turn, and then it hits Sendai nuclear plant. Yeah, floods that area. Then in Shikoku, the Ikata nuclear plant, which was just turned on. You know, we were discussing that, I think, a week or a couple of weeks ago. Turned on early. That's operating. Crosses over there, floods that whole island completely.
Right.
Okay, it's underwater. And now it's heading, it's already raining in Fukushima. It's heading right up toward Fukushima. And what's really weird is the Japanese weather map. I watch NHK. You know, they put the eye of the storm south of where it should be, not in the center of the storm, because they don't want to admit it's this typhoon is it on a dead course, you know, a dead center course to three nuclear plants. So there is something there. This is also along that big fault line that I've warned about, the central fault line. So there is some sort of, as soon as they turn these plants on, this typhoon just sort of veered right in, you know, like in a bowling alley to knock out these three pins. So it's, the effects, the geophysical effects, of radioactivity, still not 100% well understood. And, you know, people are have a very hard time with my articles understanding what I'm saying about the Arctic ozone.
What scientists have stepped forward to take the whole issue of Fukushima radiation on and talk about it honestly and project it with maps and charts to show people? Yeah. There has not been one evidence of that.
Yeah.
Nothing.
They're all sold out. They're all sold out. They're all sold out. And that's why people wonder, why am I attacking Einstein theory of relativity? Well, because all this trouble began with this thing called E equals MC squared, conversion of energy to matter, but also the conversion of matter to energy. I mean, this is the core of smashing the atom. And, you know, I talked to, Einstein stole a lot of his ideas from this Italian mathematician called Coriolis, I think from Planck and several other European scientists, Poincaré, but also from Bose, the very famous Indian mathematician. And once I had a long train ride with a student of Bose, okay, and he's from India, and he said, you know, there are at least a dozen good models of this universe. The Big Bang is just one of them, and it's quite an arbitrary one. And a lot of it depends on the number of dimensions you calculate in. There is a minimum of 6 dimensions for any universe to be possible. And the likelihood of relativity, or Einstein's theory of this sort of Big Bang, is one of the more unlikely ones. And
that's fascinating. Hold on. We have to take a break. We'll come right back with Yoshi. And by the way, Bill de Blasio, in case some of you don't know, it is not his real name. He was born Warren Wilhelm Jr. That was his real name, Warren Wilhelm Jr. He changed that to 1983's Warren de Blasio hyphen Wilhelm. That was his name in 1983. Warren de Blasio hyphen Wilhelm. And then in 2001 it was, not 99, he changed it to Bill de Blasio. This guy's got multiple personality weaknesses here, at the very least. Weird. It's all weird.
Who is this guy?
Yeah, who is it?
Who
Hold on. Back in a minute. Okay, I'm back with Yoshi, taking a look at a lot of different things here. So Bill de Blasio was not born Bill de Blasio. He's another fake. They're all fakes. All of it. It's as Gerald Celente said, he calls it the presidential reality show. It's really the political reality show. It's a show. It's all showbiz. Underscored, unfortunately, with grotesque, satanic, evil, pedophilia, murder, bribery, blackmail, influence peddling. You name it. You name it. It's a criminal enterprise. Politics in America is a criminal enterprise. I'm not saying other countries don't have similar problems, but it is nowhere as egregiously obvious and grotesque as it is here. We take the cake.
In other countries you have just the open autocratic dictatorships, right?
Right.
Done under the guise of democracy.
Right.
And if you want to call it's hard for me to, I look at news sometimes, about these Hillary rallies. It's hard to me to watch them and believe that they're real, that these people. And then, the great catch is the one you yourself did, after Hillary's little seizure there, where she claimed was pneumonia, then she bounces back and you noticed and you found with photo research striking dissimilarities in basic facial parts.
Yeah.
Like her nose is obviously another, and it's a much flatter face from the side. You see that the Hillary, this body double. You call it the body double, right? Is what you call it, a body. Well, yeah. This is not something so grotesque. I mean, there are foreign leaders who do this all the time. They have body doubles all the time. Sometimes six or seven of them.
We think there are several with Hillary, and I think that they've been inserting. The one who gave the talk in North Carolina last Wednesday, I think they've been inserting this one, or maybe a couple, during the year to get people used to the differences in appearance.
Right. But there's some, the photos you found showed some, like especially the nose, clear-cut differences. And obviously the one with that more crooked nose looks like she's had a considerable amount of cosmetic surgery. It doesn't look like. She reminds me of these Korean women. It's high-rated cosmetic surgery. Her eyes don't look real to me. You can spot it from a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
Her eyes are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they find lookalikes. I don't know where they dredge these people up. They do, they are dredged up out of the population. It happens in other countries, body double.
Sure.
So it's not surprising. Cosmetic surgery has gone a long way.
Yeah, there's something else. I don't know if you saw that story. There's something in her mouth now, in one of the doubles.
Yeah.
It's in the back lower right side. It's white. It's supposed to look like a tooth, but it's too big. It's something. It could be a...
It's some sort of microphone.
It could be a microphone to change the voice modulation, the tone, the pitch, or it could be a receiver, which goes up the neural pathways into her brain. The bone resonates, and she can hear somebody talking to her with that, so she doesn't have to wear the earpiece and get busted with that.
Yeah, she just parrots out the lines, therefore, and then the coach will tell her, say a little slower, a little higher pitch in your voice, pronounce it this way. Yeah, because her pronunciation sort of goes from a southern Arkansas draw to more of a harder Midwestern thing.
Exactly. Well, I think that's...
It doesn't waver back and forth, I lived in Indiana in the Midwest and California and, of course, overseas, so I have all these mixtures of accents, but they just sort of bounce around all over, like a pachinko ball all over the place, whereas these are consistent changes. One sounds like a southerner, and the other one sounds like a Midwesterner. So that's very odd, speaking as a person who's, doesn't have a consistent accent, it's very hard to control those things.
It is. Yeah. We have to remember also that the technology of show business and beyond that is extraordinary. Yes. It's so far advanced now, it's not even funny.
Sure. Of course.
And the average person does not have a clue. They say, well, they couldn't do that. Oh, they just don't know.
Well, a lot of these rallies, you don't have independent stations coming with cameras. They're like central camera crews.
No, it's a pool.
Set up,
yeah.
And they feed to the networks, right?
Yep.
So everything can be electronically, you know.
Well, I busted the, did you see me? I was able to figure out what happened in North Carolina when she comes walking up to the stage from the right.
Yeah.
All the people in front are holding their smartphones up with their screens. You can see all the screens. And there's a whole row of American flags, red, white, and blue, big color. Not one camera has the red, white, and blue flag in it. Not one camera has the same color background wall.
Yeah.
Those people, that whole four audience in the foreground was dropped in there.
Pre-programmed photos in
there. That audience came from another appearance somewhere else, and it was dropped into that video.
It comes from a dress rehearsal, you see. And then sometimes there's sudden changes by the local sponsors. So that's what happened. It's a dress rehearsal that they have.
Well, whatever it was, they were not imaging the actual scene we were watching. They were dropped in there.
Now, this is the Matrix all the way. I mean, this is the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
This is not just the Clinton Foundation. Like I say, you know, there was this operation when this fellow was coming across as a child, his family was coming across the bomber in New York. There was Operation Alex Station going on, where they were going to use Afghans to kidnap Osama bin Laden and put him on a C-130 and smuggle him out of the country. You know, so Clinton wanted to reel him in. Now, they didn't just want to kill him, and those missiles deliberately missed the place because he's an asset. Bin Laden was an asset, just like all these other people.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff is staged media. And, you know, it was interesting when I was in Pakistan, right at the beginning of the American intervention after, in 2001, right after the 9/11 incident, I was the first in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, CNN, they stayed at the, you know, the five-star Rose Hotel in Peshawar, you know, where the Taliban were giving interviews. And NBC was there, and then BBC. They were giving out like $10,000 in cash to Afghan families for photos, any kind of memorabilia, old tapes, you know, cassette tapes and all that. They were grabbing information and all that. So, you know, CNN, we see, you know, again, this is not something new, but with Hillary, this goes back right back to the support for the Taliban, and then finally the rupture, the attempt to woo the Taliban before the bombings began in 2011. So this is like within the family, all in the family type stuff. So this is what Americans got to see. That's why this case is not going to be handled very well in court in New York, you know. And this is why they're downplaying these, you know, injuries. You know, they're
What is that? 29 people injured. We don't hear about the extent of it. One person was supposed to be seriously hurt. What is that?
Yeah, and then we hear later maybe there were 45. I mean, you know, the numbers are not clear about what the injuries were, where they were treated, who they are. In other words, we privilege this guy, this family, a Taliban family, over, you know, 29 Americans, or maybe there's 20 Americans there on the street. You know, I mean, American citizens are treated like dirt now. They're hunted down overseas. I mean, you know, they're taxed to death. They're, you know, regulated to death everywhere. You know, American citizens are punished if you're Native. The newcomers who serve the intelligence agencies and the State Department, you know, they're basically given immunity. I mean, this guy was shot, right, a couple times. He looked so bad, did he?
No, he looked pretty good. He was shot in the leg, whatever that means. Maybe it was John Wayne.
He shot a couple of cops. He didn't look like he was shot in the leg. There was no picture of his leg bleeding.
No, he had a gash
on
his shoulder. He shot a couple of cops, and allegedly their vests protected them. So what was he using, a 22?
Yeah, exactly the point I'm saying. The thing looks like a total fake. It was inside. They staged this thing. They hauled him away, and he's essentially got immunity one way or the other. He ain't going to take any punishment.
You know, this is, as far as a bomb goes, Yoshi, if this was a real serious terror op, they would have packed a car full of explosives and lit it off on the street.
Exactly.
Killed dozens and dozens of people. This is a PR stunt.
Well, it is and it isn't. It's a warning shot from the guys who are paying the Clintons, you know? I guess.
All right, a PR warning shot, whatever. Okay, fine.
The Pakistanis. You know, this guy, Kirzir Khan, Remember him?
Oh, yeah, of course. The con man. Don't forget the con man.
Yeah, I mean, Wayne Manson did the whole job on him. Linked to Pakistan Intelligence Service during the war on terror, you know, Pakistan Intelligence all the way. The head of Pakistan Intelligence came out to Arlington Cemetery. This is the guy who creates the Taliban, okay? He's out at the Arlington Cemetery, you know, to give a eulogy for this guy. You know, these are supposedly the enemies America's fighting over there, you know, in Afghanistan. You know, the chief of them, the general, is over in Arlington Cemetery for this brave captain, you know, who's financing a militia, which ends up being the ISIS, you know? Then, so, you know, these connections, the interconnections of the diplomatic corps, the intelligence agencies, mm-hmm. with all these other bad guys, so intrinsic, so built in, and then the losers, and Trump is right, who are the victims, right? Who are the victims? In Minnesota, why are there so many Somalis? That was another Clinton thing, remember? Black Hawk Down?
Oh,
remember
yeah.
the invasion of Somalia?
Oh, yeah.
The Marines landed on the beach,
yeah.
and the cameras were there earlier, European camera crews were there earlier, videotaping like a bunch of turtles.
What a coincidence.
Isn't it amazing how the Clintons are so... So this is not an occasional donation to the Clinton Foundation. They are the minion of this block, the petrodollar block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're part of the petrodollar block, which intends to control the United States and keep it a captive nation.
Yeah? That's right. So, well, we can't have that.
Let's be very clear.
This is... Yeah. Look, Donald Trump, I hope, will declare this nation its own... isolationist-oriented enterprise for its people, its heritage, its citizenship, and its values. And I hope he can do it if he lives.
Well, yeah, hopefully it'll be a beginning of a revival of human democracy, finally dealing with this Wall Street.
It could be. Make America great again. Okay. Yeah. Hey, look, America was...
Hopefully.
A lot of people say America was never great. Fine, that's okay. America always had people, the have-nots. Every society does, every nation does. It's just part and parcel of the way humanity organizes itself. No big surprise, all right? But on balance, 125 years ago, Ellis Island, we were the light to the world.
Yeah. Well, that was a different time, different place.
That's right.
Different kind of immigrant. Yeah, it was a whole different ballgame, you know? All the way up to the boat people from Vietnam who fought on America's side.
And by the way, all of those, the Vietnamese and Cambodia, whoever came over here from Southeast Asia, on average...
They were on America's side, really. Yeah, I mean, they were not like these iffy people, you know?
Get this one, Yoshi. You already know this, but let me tell our listeners. On average, within 1 year of their arrival, the so-called boat people, the Vietnamese, all who were brought over here were self-supporting.
Yeah, they work hard. They make very vibrant communities, and, you know, they do the best they can. They have the problem just like the Italians did. You know, there's organized crime and all that, but that's part also of the immigrant community, part of the self-help thing, you know. But, you know, they have lots of top college graduates serving in the military and all. So, you know, basically, these are people who are aboard. They try to be an American, and they, you know, it may not always be successful. But there's no doubt that they try, okay? But I don't know, man. This guy goes back to Afghanistan 3 times and then comes back and does his bombing. That's just like unneighborly, man. It just doesn't, you know, the welcome wagon rolls out for you and then you go bomb it. That's ridiculous. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, this is ridiculous. Anyway, let's get a little bit back to Fukushima stuff.
Right.
Another news tidbit. They had the wall, of course. The frozen wall is gone. It's been raining there before the storm, a big, long front. Now this third typhoon is hitting dead center. We're going to drop, you know, a bunch of rain on top of Fukushima again. So the ice wall is basically gone. A lot of radiation. Now, and as I said about the effects on the Arctic region, a really sad thing is happening in Norway, where all those deer suddenly collapsed from... I say it was gamma rays. Some people contest me. They can't come up with another answer. You know, cosmic rays, sort of like directing gamma rays back down to Earth and killing all those deer, you know, in Norway.
Yep.
The Norwegian government has decided open hunting season to hunt down 70% of the Arctic wolf population in Norway.
And what's the deal with that?
the obvious deal. Wolves are predators. The government must know radiation is building up in the wolves, and they're afraid of mutation. They're afraid of increasing viciousness, right? These are in wolf preserves. But, you know, as I said, radiation...
So the wolves will come after human beings, is what you're saying, though. The radiation
anything,
will...
Yeah, anything where yeah, maybe yeah. tear each other apart, attack sheep. They say they're attacking sheep. So they're yeah. attacking sheep. Yeah. Obviously not one or two. They're just ripping them down. Just like the sharks attacking the seals off the
and
coast
people.
Of Southern California.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like random killing because their brain system, their nervous system, their sensory systems are being destroyed, just going wild with radiation. So they're going to knock out most of that herd. I mean, most of that pack, that wolf pack in Norway. This is like this ongoing tragedy. Well, yeah, when are governments like a Norwegian government, what do they have to lose by saying, you know, Fukushima is the cause? You know, other reactors around the area are also contributing, other, you know, uranium, you know, but radiation is at the heart of this crisis that's killing off the wildlife of the north and also killing off a lot of domestic animals. The sheep would be weaker, of course, unable to run. The sheep dogs may have a problem fighting against the wolves, right? They're
yeah.
disoriented
yeah.
all. Right? You see what I'm saying? Maybe even the killings are done by the sheep dogs. They're under so much radioactive stress. This is, you know, while we're worrying about, you know, these pressure cooker bombs in Boston and New York, all of life is dying just a few, you know, 100 miles north. Yeah? You know, everything is dying off. The world is dying. You know, the entire biological system is collapsing. It's imploding. And no one dares talk about what's going on. And why else would you have this open season against the wolves?
That's a very important... I saw the story and I just didn't connect it. But you're right.
Yeah, it has to, yeah
they're feeding yeah, on irradiated animals, and they're going to start to go yeah. nuts.
Yeah, they go nuts, and so they just rip, you know, a piece of fur off a sheep, or just slash its throat, and then run on and attack another one. Just random, you know, insane. They're going crazy. Yeah, it's
wow.
not their fault.
No,
it's not their fault.
Well, 75% will be gone soon, so.
Yeah. This is really accelerating the Arctic, you know, and you ran stories, not melting. That's correct. As I said, it's fragmented. It's not melting. Yeah. As I said, tritium is fragmented everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
melting. I said, you know, there's ice down there. It's all just, you know, crumbled like ice cubes in the bits, you know, so it's not melting. It's cold up there, but, cosmic radiation pouring in and this disaster, just a matter of time before we just see like a group of kids, school kids or something, just dead. And they'll cover that up. They'll just arrange a bus accident or something like that. You know, the governments are desperate. They won't tell the truth of what's really going on, that the whole northern tier of nations is being destroyed.
Wow. You know, we haven't gotten...
It's frustrating for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We haven't gotten one good report. And I'll bet it's been two and a half years on the structural residue that was Fukushima Daiichi. Those structures have got to be just decaying, rusting, listing, leaning. Yeah. It's only a matter of time before number one or two or three takes a dive and throws its spent fuel pool on the ground.
Yeah, again, these water surges removes gravel, destabilizes the gravel underneath the plant. And then when it dries up, it all becomes destabilized. They're sitting on pockets of air. And the ground itself, like this, the recent rains in mid-August have just filled the gravel below with water. So high radioactivity is surging to the surface and the puddles. The workers can't get near the plant.
But seriously, how long can those buildings, Yoshi, last? They've been through hell.
Yeah, a lot of them have fire damages. They have been rusting. And then radioactivity really pits. Yeah, I wrote a whole story on steel.
It was excellent.
Yeah, I'm a steel. I was a steel worker. Yeah,
look at it in Yoshi's box on the left-hand side. He wrote a definitive paper about steel. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, I mean, I'm into steel from the mythos of steel from the ancient past. It's a center, yeah. Without steel, there'd be no civilization. The Bronze Age wasn't much. It was the Iron Age that brought about the great civilizations. They all rose by learning mastery of craft, the steel, and perfecting it. And then they all declined when they abused the steel that they had by going out murdering people, killing each other and all that. You know, so
right.
Steel is very part of that cycle. And right now, the steel, the structural steel in Fukushima is just, you know, is bent. A lot of it's tangled and bent.
Well, they call it a kneeling, don't they? A kneeling?
Well, no, a kneeling is the heating of steel to recrystallize it. Basically, remove the crystal structure by healing, by heating. And then that heating at a certain temperature and allowing to cool at a certain rate, the steel will crystallize in ways that you want. It'll restart.
I
and they
see.
Anneal.
Okay.
See, the problem is what I suspect is for something like 2 decades, right? They've been faking their reports on nuclear parts, including reactors. You know, the part they're not talking about is a big reactor.
Yeah.
Where there's concentrations of carbon, so the steel is very brittle. And my suspicion is, you know, because we used to do this in a steel mill. We would sometimes anneal a part on our own.
Huh.
We get out there with hooked to our gas blower. I mean, you have no idea. Your idea of all this is highly technical and all that's a picture these companies give. But in the middle of the night, after the midnight shift, you know, 3 in the morning, we're out there with burning torches, healing up parts of the red hot to anneal them, you know,
yeah.
So they don't crack anymore, you know, to try to rebuild the crystal structure. Of course, that makes it weaker. You know, as a whole, it gets weaker. The damaged, brittle part, we more or less may able to stop the cracking. But in the end, you know, the reheating of that steel like that's making the entire structure much weaker. I suspect all this kind of stuff is going on inside the plant.
Crazy.
Components plant, there's a lot of fudging that's been going on. And then the British government, under a lot of pressure, has agreed to restart Hinkley PowerPoint project, although it still has a lot of hurdles to go.
Yeah.
All these parts that they found in, you know, 400 different parts for nuclear plants in critical areas, high pressure areas, bad steel. They haven't been able to fix it for 20 years. They find bad parts. So it's in the, I say this is in the production process itself, in the steel making itself. They haven't solved this thing. This is terrible. And when a plant like Fukushima goes down, all these flaws are just going to break.
We'll see. It's a day-to-day thing. We just hear nothing anymore, and that really bothers me.
Steel rusts. It does rust.
It's
not stainless steel there. I understand. Very little stainless steel because it's too brittle.
That's just
your ordinary steel that's rusting. No way you get in there, paint it. You have to put grease on all these things, and oil, and paint, to keep it from rusting. No one's getting in there. Everything is decaying in that time.
Right.
Time before. One last little straw, steel straw breaks, and boom.
That's it. That's how close we are. Yoshi, thanks. Thanks very much, as always. Talk to you next week. We'll keep in touch.
Yep.
The situation over here is now heading into the home stretch. 49 days, I guess, until the so-called vote.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. It's looking...
Well, you got to get the petrodollar mafia the heck out of there. I mean, they're killing, they're terrorists that they created are back home in America. So that's not intolerable. That can't continue.
That's right.
You can't have neighbors like that. There's no way you can. And which is why the people in the neighborhood they're with, right, filed a complaint against First American Chicken. They said, you know, we don't like me, all these sort of dodgy guys coming over, and all that. Being out there all night, right? Our girls are on the street, and we don't know what they're up to. You know? They're coming in from all over.
Yeah.
Area.
Yeah. All right. Okay, get some rest. Thank you. Have a nice day. Take care. Talk soon.
All right.
Yoichi Shimatsu, our man for all seasons. All right, back tomorrow night. It's crazy out there. We'll do our best to continue to inform you, and you know where we'll be. Talk to you tomorrow night.